are several. And it's a French term that doesn't lend itself real well to English-speaking audiences because there's many, many different definitions that we use. Other definitions that Richard Smart, a viticulturalist from Australia, indicated to me is that in the New World, particularly in America, the winemaker receives a lot of attention. But in fact, the only winemaker really is the yeast, is it not? Turning that wonderful grape juice into a alcohol delivery system for us with the grape juice. Indeed, it's the wine chemist or the enologist. Otherwise, if people call themselves winemakers, then all of us who work out in the vineyard should be the grape makers. But that's the sun through photosynthesis. So the grape grower being the viticulturalist. And most of us as soil scientists work very closely with these grape growers. Now, about 2 years ago, we had a Pinot Noir Terroirist conference and at the Central Coast Wine Classic in California. And also there was a terroir conference at UC Davis about 3 years ago where multiple definitions and concepts of terroir were indicated. Most of us as soil scientists are involved in the agro-terroir aspect where we look at soil, climate, irrigation, water management, fertility management. The vini-terroir is really the enologist's realm where we look at such things as time of aging of grapes, look at barrel choices, promotional terroir, which has become a huge thing in marketing, and you'll find on many wine labels indications of our terroir, and so you find that's primarily marketing and oftentimes has a disconnect with the actual conditions that occur at a site. There are legal terroir implications as we look at American viticultural area boundaries or in France, the Appalachian boundaries, that tie in closely with identity and territorial terroir. So many different concepts of terroir. The one we're going to be focusing on primarily today in this symposium is the agro-terroir conceptual framework. Now, as soil scientists, all of us know this as in introductory soils courses as fundamental, the five factors of soil formation. But what I find is that as I go out and talk to viticulturalists, landowners, winery owners, the soil forming factors are really what they look at in terms of where they want to place particular types of varieties. And it's these fundamental soil forming factors that are used in San Luis Obispo when Tablas Creek, which has connections to Chateauneuf-du-Pape, sent out a French geologist to find the soils very comparable to the soils found at Chateau de Beaucastel in the Rhone region of France. And they used all these soil forming factors, found comparable soils in West Paso Robles in California. So you'll find there are consultants now, international consultants, that look at homoclimate models, climatic models, to be able to go ahead and find where are the best places to import grape varieties from other parts of the world where they've been successfully grown. As we look at Paso Robles and some of the soils that are found there, these are the soils that the French geologists were looking for, calcareous subsoils and fairly deep topsoils that mimic some of the soils in the Rhone and even some of the soils that we find in the famous Burgundian vineyards such as Romani-Conti. Additionally, varieties of soils that we find weathered from either rhyolitic or igneous and sedimentary rock materials such as these in the coastal region of California. It's the soil forming factors that really have the framework for deciding where ultimately to plant varying types of grapes relative to the rootstock. The scion material is always going to be tied to the climate. It's the rootstock choice tied more to the soil materials. Additionally, in California, and James Fisher, who's going to be speaking soon from Pennsylvania, indicates that they may even be putting in irrigation systems in Pennsylvania. So some of the most important properties are those relating to water holding capacity, water movement within the soil that influence irrigation. And then chemically, probably the most important thing in terms of nutrient availability, rootstock choice, is first the pH of the soil, then a look at all the nutrients. Under toxics here, I focused on those primarily of interest to us in California, the chloride and soluble salts and possible boron toxicities. But even if we look at other parts of the world, particularly here where we look at aluminum toxicities in very acid soils, those are additionally of concern and could be considered as toxics we want to focus on in terms of the chemical properties. Now, in looking at nutrients, when I originally, about 20 years ago, got involved in soils and viticultural work, I heard this talk that poor soils make great grapes. And indeed, I challenged somebody to grow grapes in quartz sand and to see how well they would do. Of course not. So it's not that poor soils make great grapes, but soils with a balance of nutrients, relatively low in nitrogen near time of harvest, and relatively moderate to low in potassium that may affect the ultimate pH of the harvested grapes, are key. So some key nutrients, nitrogen and potassium. Other very key nutrients are those involved in formation of chlorophyll, particularly magnesium and iron. And if we're not going to have chlorophyll, we're not going to get sugar production, not going to have favorable grapes. So each vineyard varies in the amount of nutrients relative to soil type and fertilization history. And the initial soil testing for the nutrients done prior to vineyard establishment, and then most vineyards after vineyard establishment would be looking at petiole and leaf blade sampling after that, so with a minimal amount of soil testing after initial establishment. Some slides to indicate deficiencies that may cause problems relative to chlorophyll production, potassium, magnesium deficiencies. We find these commonly in highly calcareous soils. pH is over about 8 or 8.2. Additionally, boron toxicity is showing up in some areas in eastern Paso Robles, American viticultural area, and this tied primarily to irrigation water. And as we've gotten deeper into about 700 feet deep in some of these wells, some of the sodium borate that's found associated with the marine sedimentary rocks is starting to show up in the soils as a function of irrigation water applications. And then very well-known lime-induced chlorosis, primarily iron and zinc deficiencies associated with low available iron and zinc levels relative to those high pH soils that are loaded with calcium carbonate. Now, we all as soil scientists know that we can highly contrast soils relative to pH. Soils on the left, like these, that would be ultisols, no calcium carbonate, relatively acid pHs, not only found in the eastern United States, but I've seen these also in areas in Northern California and additionally in the Santa Cruz Hills, where you find fairly acid soils as opposed to the alkaline carbonate-rich soils that we might find in places like West Paso Robles, found in the Rhone region, Burgundy, and several places even in Italy and Chianti Classico area. And inevitably, in all these acid soils where aluminum toxicities are found, they tend to be deficient in calcium, no root growth. And I've seen root profiles like this. This is out of a textbook, but I've seen profiles like this side by side in vineyards in the Santa Cruz Hills. One side, unlimed, pH is 4.5, low calcium, no root growth. Once the soils have been limed, calcium added, root growth is stimulated and a much healthier plant is results from that. Another key area in which we need to know soils information is relative to grape rootstock choice. Grape rootstocks are used on nearly all vineyards. There are some that don't use grape rootstocks and they're doing it at their own peril because phylloxera and nematodes typically will become a problem. I've seen a number of vineyards in the central Paso Robles area had to be pulled out as a result of phylloxera infestation. Nematodes more associated with some of the sandy soils. There's an index that Rainier has put together from Bordeaux in France looking at an index relative to calcium carbonate levels and available iron by DTPA. And this index of carbonate influence has been constructed matches well with varying rootstocks. So in calcareous soils, one can calculate this IPC number, look at greater tolerance of higher lime, lower iron as you increase the IPC values, and then those that are the Berlandieri crosses relative to riparian crosses. Berlandieri tends to be more tolerant of these lime areas. Some of the research now shows that these rootstocks tend to be more acid rhizosphere, so they perhaps can dissolve the calcium carbonate, free up some of the iron, and create an environment more favorable for growth in highly calcareous soils. Additionally, not only the lime tolerance relative to rootstock, but also the relative vigor. So very vigorous rootstocks that can grow in water-deficient or drought-tolerant areas would include also the Berlandieri cross and those that are natively found in New York State being found more in the more humid areas. So where you have plenty of water available, rootstocks are chosen that are less vigorous. Drought-tolerant species tend to be more vigorous. Now, in summary then, use of soils information in world viticulture, primarily rootstock selection, irrigation system design, soil-borne pest identification and control, primarily phylloxera nematode identification, cover crop selection, of which the jury is still out on this in terms of what's an ideal cover crop, probably varies depending on the management situation. I've seen some use just barley. If there's nitrogen deficiencies, a legume, a shallow-rooted legume can be introduced to go ahead and increase the nitrogen levels in the crop and in the soil and help in terms of growth. Erosion control plans in California at this point are mandated in some counties. Sonoma, Napa County, they're mandated. As of yet, still not in Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo County, but the time may come that those become mandated. Then vineyard and trellis system design. So how close do you plant the plants? What's the planting density? What type of trellis system to be used? Largely dependent on management system, but also on soil type. So with that, thank you for your attention. And if you've got any questions, I'd be glad to handle them. Okay. Yes, James.
So you mentioned the nutrients that are you mentioned a bunch of nutrients about important ones for chlorophyll production. If you had to name say the top three nutrients, what would be most important for your soils?
Well, the three most important for chlorophyll production would be magnesium, iron, and nitrogen, primarily. Yeah, those three are most important.
Calcium
important for cell division, root growth, certainly important in the overall health of the plant, and all the nutrients are important for health of the plant. But in terms of chlorophyll production, primarily iron, magnesium, and nitrogen, most important there. Yes? Exactly. Yeah, you won't get any blossoming, and absolutely, phosphorus is vitally important. All the nutrients, plant essential nutrients, important, and particularly nitrogen, not excessive at the end of the growing season, so as to not stimulate overabundance of vegetative growth at the expense of the reproductive phase of the plant, the grape cluster itself. So I intended this talk primarily to be an overview. As we get into the additional speakers, they'll get into more of the specifics of soil viticultural relationships.